To order at 7:20. Those in attendance, Yvonne Nass.
Jed Donahue.
Courtney Fox.
Angela Anthony.
Ryan Cowell.
C. Callinson.
Beth Carter.
Janine Salama.
Gina Castelli.
We have regrets from Kiara Beck, Aaron Carroll. Shonda
Gilmore. Karen Grandel, helps
Gilmore. Karen Grandel.
Mila Duckworth.
Mila Duckworth.
And so far, Dwayne Sims, who is my understanding is traveling from New York and should be here shortly.
Okay. When Dwayne joins us, we will wait 3 minutes. Has everyone read them? Are there any corrections or additions?
I had one minor one. There's a line, I think it's supposed to say eligibility. It's been corrected on that version, the version that I saw.
She sent out a second version.
Sorry, my apologies.
Version. I love recording. Any other corrections or additions to the minutes? May I hear a motion to accept?
I'll make a motion to accept.
May I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is passed.
Who was the second?
Mr. Ryan Connell. And I should do that for the recording. I'm still learning too. Finance report, Mr. Zeke Allenson.
Yes, finances are looking good. We met with Karen earlier, I guess it was last week, and then the CBOC met that evening, a week ago tonight. And also just to mention, after our last meeting, I circulated a couple of blue charts, pie charts to everyone by email, which we were trying to give out at the last meeting, but they didn't print right. But there are a where it comes from and where it goes pie chart, which I just thought was an interesting way to look at the budget. So we are now two-thirds of the way through the fiscal year, and we've gotten in almost all of our revenue. I think there's another $100,000 from the state coming in currently. Could even be here by now. But we are, we've only spent less than 60% of the budget. And we're looking at a projected $700,000 surplus now on basically a $6.1 million budget. And we went through some line items that are running a little high or a little low and figured out where we could cover expenses from and realized we can do it without having to tap into any of our contingencies. And then we looked at some scuttlebutt about what might get cut next year based on the governor's budget and the huge problems they're having there with a $400 million gap to try to fill. And so we're tracking a couple of possible items there, but there's no immediate need to take any action. The one thing that we did note is that is sort of an immediate, not an immediate, but a current issue is that we're paying a lot more for the water bill next door than we thought. We think it's related to the way that cooling system and heating system works. So I think Courtney's got some folks to come in and take a look at that. But other than that, the budget is on track and we're starting to think about next year.
Okay. And so the narrative, the web report, Zeke is up to date and ready to go?
Yes, this is ready for approval, and so is the web report itself.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments on the web report.
I just have one question, Zeke. You mentioned the budget was $7,000, but the narrative indicates 6754. I mean, you were just rounding. Can I just assume you were rounding when you said 7 million?
Did I say 7 million? I meant
700,000.
Yeah, 700,000 worth of carryover, and I'm saying that the budget is a. I'm saying that it's a $6.1 million budget, but I meant that based on expenditures. The budgeted revenues are at 6.7 million. So.
Okay. All right.
And I just don't know whether you should really talk about it as your revenues or your expenses. I was just thinking about what's it cost to run the school. That's like 6.1 million. Our revenues are projected at 6.7 or a little bit more, hence the $700,000 of surplus. But yeah, so yeah, we budget at 6.7. We're getting in 6.7. We're going to spend like 6.1.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions, comments, needed clarifications? I'd like to say that Dwayne Sims has now joined us. Welcome, Dwayne.
Thank you.
May I hear a motion to accept the finance report?
So moved.
Jed Donahue has moved. May I have a second?
Second.
Angela Angini has seconded the motion. All in favor, yes?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Any noes? Finance report is accepted. The next thing on our agenda is the revision of the bylaws. And welcome, Janine Solomon, and thank you for all your hard work and your committee. Appreciate that. everyone had the final copy. They've gone through it. Beth, did you receive all the questions?
I did. So okay. I just wanted to help everybody understand the February meeting. As you all know, we discussed the revision of the bylaws. At that time, we were presented with several questions and some guidance for and directive of some verbiage, at which time governance went back and, based upon some information from the board, revised the bylaws. We also at that time solicited feedback or questions so that we could move forward on a vote today. We were given one question, and it was regarding classes. It was Class C with a specific question. Again, we have Janine here, and I am going to spell her name, so we have it as J-A-N-I-N-E, last name, S-A-L-O-M-O-N-E, who has been the counsel on the process, making sure we have everything that we need.
Beth, could you spell her name one more time?
Yes, it is S as in Sam, A L O M as in Mary, O N as in Nancy, E. Janine is joining us again today, just in case anyone has any additional questions, because we want to make sure that we have everybody's input. But that's all I have as far as the bylaws, and so I would suggest we present them for a vote, but again, want to find out if anybody has any questions at all. And Janine, did you want to go over maybe the Class C question, just in case?
Yeah, and I think Angela brought up a couple of points that within the committee that maybe the whole board should just hear as well. So I can kind of run through those really quickly if everyone.
That probably answers the most.
Yeah, thank you. So, just flipping through to kind of the sections that we addressed, I think that in response to some things that were brought up at the last meeting, we made a little tinkering to section 4.03, which deals with the election of directors. I think we've made some good clarification points there that make it clear that to the extent that there is a parent director to be elected, you know, this is what the vote is. Just recognizing what Jed said about, well, you know, the other language might have made it seem like you always had to elect a teacher director, which is not the case as we're structuring this classified board. So I hope everyone had a chance to look at that and thinks that we addressed it well. I think that was a good point of clarification. In addition, there were some questions that were raised in the proxies and voting section 4.07. I think the language that I just draw everyone's attention to is the last sentence now in 4.07, which we actually had in a footnote, but I think some people weren't seeing it because if you read on iPad, sometimes footnotes don't show. So we brought it up into the text so we didn't lose it somewhere along the way. I think it was a good point that you brought up, Angela. So just being clear that in that language is that to the extent that any student in the school shall live in more than one household due to divorce or any other circumstances, only one parent or legal guardian of said students or students shall have the right to vote at the annual or special meeting. So again, clarifying exactly who the parent constituency, we had some questions about that because the bylaws just weren't clear on that before. So it's, you know, it's one vote per household. And if your student happens to have two households, there's still one vote.
And if you have multiple children.
And if you have multiple children, it's one vote. So yeah, we're referring to it as like the household vote.
Yep.
But I think that we all agree that probably makes the most logical sense as opposed to have some sort of weighted voting if you have more children. And, you know, it would also make calculating votes much more difficult at an annual meeting time. I think that those were the big changes in the text. And I think
the only other one that might be of interest was around where you would begin to account for attendance. There was, I think you did make that change to fiscal year.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, there was some discussion about the additional provision they make clear that board attendance, if you didn't attend the required number of meetings, you'd be automatic removal. And there was some discussion about whether it should be a school year or calendar year. And I think for consistency purposes, we agreed that we would use fiscal year for other measuring points and that, so we would use the fiscal year as the measuring point for that as well. So I think that is a good clarification and it makes the bylaws consistent. The last, I guess, change or addition from what people previously saw is what is Exhibit A, which is the actual allocation of existing directors to the various classes. I spent a lot of time with everybody on the committee, as well as Yvonne, trying to figure out who is actually in what class now and whose terms are expiring. So I think we got it right. There may be one or two people that have to sort of, whose terms might have expired next year that we're asking to be in a class where they might serve an extra 2 years. But for the most part, I think this reflects where we are. The one question that was raised about the Class C directors whose terms would expire in 2020. Right now, we just have bracketed language in there, and that's just because I didn't want to assume, nor do I know if the board has decided if all current directors whose terms are expiring are going to serve or whether or not there was going to be any other sort of expansion of the total number of directors on the board. So the idea being there will be a point where the nominating committee will nominate the directors for that Class C. And obviously, you know, that can be revised. And in theory, it wouldn't really be revised until after the bylaws were approved and these people were elected. But that's the reason that the vacancies are there. The other little switch, as we tried to put people evenly in classes, the committee thought, and I agree, that it was important to, and we reflected in the bylaws, to have the directors sort of weighted evenly so we have a parent director in each class. And so what that does create is there is a vacancy in the Class B parent director. So as I had said, that I was recommending that two parent directors be elected this year. Just one of them would be in the 2019 class and one would be in the 2020 class. And people would know that going into it. But I think those are the highlights. Did I miss anything, Jeff?
No. I don't think so. I think you got everything. There is one more thing, and I don't have the hard copy in front of me. I just wanted to let everybody know, and I'm sure you guys have gone through it. I can't believe I don't know this number off by heart. But just to let you know and remind everybody about Section 5.02, that the board still does have, you know, the ability to determine the general policies and the strategic planning of the corporation so that there is information in the bylaws, but I mean, it is in stone, but there are processes that the board still can decide. So that, I think last time we kind of got off track on processes, but the verbiage in the bylaws indicates that there are processes that we still can work out. And I just wanted to point that out to everybody.
And Dora, we also talked about the bylaws saying when the bylaws can be updated.
Yeah, actually, sorry. That's a good point. I just should be on the record. The current bylaws do not give the board the power to amend them. That's unusual. I checked with some folks that were a part of creation. I said, is there a reason for that? Did the education board require that? They said, no. So we have made the amendment in here so that the board has the power then to amend concurrently with the parent members. But to adopt these bylaws, it will need the requisite vote of the parent members, which would happen at the annual meeting.
On that subject, when I did run the red line program on these documents, yeah. We got it into 5.02, we gave the board the power to amend, but then 12.01 talks about the process. We did not add a process for the board to amend into 12.01, so I think we probably want to have something about that there. Because 12.01 is still exclusively about the member amendment.
The language I have there, I put a preamble, it says, in addition to the power conferred on the board to amend the bylaws as set forth in 5.02, these bylaws may be amended. So,
but 5.02 doesn't actually set a process, like it doesn't have the number of votes required or
for amending the bylaws.
It doesn't give the board
that defaults to any other vote of amendment. Anything else you're going to, so amending bylaws is just a simple majority. Unless there's some reason that you would want it to be a higher vote, that would be unusual. I wouldn't recommend that. But no, I don't, you, that would just default to your regular vote.
Okay, so that was just one. Most of the other charter schools either say one half, a majority vote, or only two thirds.
Yeah, I think I'm quite certain, just the general provision on required vote for board action.
Yeah, this says two-thirds. 1201 says two-thirds.
Well, the two-thirds, that deals with the members.
Of all the members.
Of members.
Yeah.
It would be a simple majority vote for the
board
to amend.
Exactly.
Which I think is appropriate under these circumstances. But as I said, I think it is important to have the powers run concurrently. To the extent that there are members that want to propose bylaw changes and they have, you know, a strong consensus of parents behind them, that's...
Okay. You know. All right. Further discussion? Then Beth Carter has made a motion to accept the revised bylaws. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
I do have three proxy votes from Kara Beck, Aaron Connell, and Shonda
Gilmore.
Why do I have a mental block with Gilmore, like the Gilmore girl. Are there any objections?
Oh, one small thing. Speaking of Shonda, I think her name is misspelled in this document.
In this document?
Yeah, at the very end.
Oh, okay.
So it's Karen. It's Karen Grandel, not Nader.
Yeah, it does not. And I think it's just fine to note for the record that they consented, but there's no ability. And I believe that that's in accordance with certain school regulations that you have to have public meetings and you can't vote by proxy. So I think the record should just reflect that those board members were in agreement as a general matter, but they're not voting on this. You have a quorum here, so.
Yes, we do.
It's a non-issue.
Okay.
They were, but they did.
They support.
They do support.
They support.
Yes, they sent a letter of support.
Yeah.
Okay, do we have a second?
Just voted.
Brian seconded.
And everybody voted yes, and do I hear any no's? The motion is passed.
So this has to go to the...
Thank you, committee. This was wonderful. A lot of hard work. I really, really appreciate it.
What's the next step that we need to
go to? It has to go under the old bylaws. It has to go to the membership for...
It needs to go to the membership for
approval. At the annual meeting.
At the annual meeting.
Yes.
Correct, yeah, and then it'll be approved in May. Right. Okay.
And we need a quorum at that meeting?
Yes, you need a quorum, and then you need a two-thirds of that quorum. But you have...
Quorum of the whole members?
Yes, but the quorum requirement is a third, so it's not as large a number as it sounds like.
And you can use proxies.
And you can use proxies for that, yes.
So,
I thought it was quorum of attendance.
I just want to make sure, I'm just clarifying. So if we say we have 300 students, including siblings and all, about 300, you know, household.
Right, households.
So we would need 100 people to show up at the annual meeting?
You don't have to show up. You can have proxies. And I think that, I know there was concern about this, at, even in the committee when we talked about it. I think you should be soliciting proxies, and we had said at the meeting, you know, parents seem pretty responsive to what goes back home in their folders, and I think if some simple memo is sent in and that we need, you know, we can send them a copy of the documents or direct them to somewhere. If this is long, we may not want to have copies of it, and then ask them to send back their ballot. And it could actually, you would want to have it for both things. You would want to have the amendment as well as whomever you're having the parent director.
And teachers are the other class of members, so that should be somewhat captured.
Right, but we can put the draft bylaws on the website as a draft and direct people to that?
Sure.
Okay.
I think you can, I think you can just say the board at this meeting approved them, and then, you know, direct the parents to the website to review those proposed changes. I'm not sure you necessarily want to solicit comments, but I mean, to the extent people have questions or comments, I, you know, entertain them.
Does it matter how they?
Am I correct then, can we, that the May 25th meeting is our annual meeting? Did governance talk about that?
That's our next charge.
Well, the April meeting is a morning meeting, April 27th. The May meeting is May 20th. God bless. Thursday night, May 25th. I had that down as a tentative annual meeting date. So does that want to go back to committee, and you'll let us know at the next meeting in April? Because if you're going to need all these votes, you're going to need to get something out.
Said that's
it's the beginning of Memorial Day weekend. You're not getting 100 people here on Memorial Day weekend, I can tell you that.
Then you're going to have to do whatever. So we'll send that back to committee. Let us know as of right
again,
now.
You don't need to have the bodies in the room. You just need their proxies.
Can they be, do they have to be on paper, or can they be electronic?
They should
Be on paper.
There are mechanisms for them to be electronic, but I think in this situation, it's better to have them be paper. And, you know, we do deal with it. We added those provisions in here to deal with electronic transmission of proxies.
You did. I saw that.
You know, so the answer is yes, they can be, but whether or not that you want to employ that this time around, that's a judgment call for the board to make. I think whatever way you think facilitates getting the sufficient number of proxies quickly enough.
Janine, would you be willing to do some of the language just for families of some high, like here are some high level changes? Because I think if we're asking people to sign off on bylaws and changes, that we could be able to say, you know, here's some of the adjustments we've made and why. This is how we know this is good practice. Please, like, here's what we would like your support on, or we'd like you to review and sign it, whatever it is. But would you be willing to give us some language around that?
I mean, I think we already have some bullet points based on when we presented to the full board what the major changes were. I think we can tweak that a little bit.
To some parent-friendly language.
To make it parent-friendly. I think, to be honest with you, there will be a very de minimis group of people that will have a lot of interest in reading them or reviewing them, like only like the me types, and I don't know how many of those are around.
You and Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan and I
are probably
sitting
up. You and Ryan.
Right,
yeah,
I'm not suggesting that we call a meeting, an open meeting for parents, because frankly, I think Ryan and I would be sitting there alone, you know. But yeah, I think if you could sort of have a one pager, these are highlights, direct them to here's the full body of it. I do think, and I'm not sure that I've seen it, you know, because I'm obviously not getting every document that the board gets, but I do think it's very important that what you post, Ryan, is your red line that shows the changes from in black line, red line form from the current version to what we're doing. That tends to be the easiest way for people to digest changes, and then that with some sort of high level comments about the whys, I think would be sufficient for most people. But I think you do need to emphasize to the parents that their vote is important on this, and that's a big why. Your vote is important because it's required under our bylaws that we have two-thirds.
But I think knowing that a parent helped would be
Yeah, I mean, I think knowing what, like, where, a little bit about where, like, where it came, you know, why we made these changes and how we made them. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to feel like we're trying to slide anything in there. Like,
we can give a little backstory on, like, the reasons why we.
Yeah.
They can certainly listen to our minutes online.
If governance could create a one-page flyer to go with it, it would be great.
I think
some
parents
might actually want to know, you know, if they're interested enough, of our minutes are
online.
That can be on there too. You can see the draft here. Also,
I would direct them.
The audio, and we need your vote.
But given the reality that most people probably would not have the bandwidth to read all this and digest it, is there best practice on conveying the need for people to vote?
Yes.
Do you have a recommendation? I mean, we don't have to talk about it this meeting, but.
Yeah, I think in this circumstance, the best practice is to provide them with a brief summary of the highlights,
right.
Direct them to a place where they can read the totality of the document,
mm-hmm.
and emphasize the reason why their vote is important. Hopefully, you'll get enough parents that just on their own respond. As I said, I send back the papers in the folder. But if not, you may put yourself in a position where you're going to have to solicit a little bit and call some people and just say, hey, can you send in your form? And also the memo should say, to the extent you have any questions, direct them to a person who's willing to talk about them.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. Again, thank you for your hard work.
Can you second that motion?
I think I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're ready to move on. Development, you attached your minutes. Thank you very much.
You all should have seen the minutes. I believe as discussed in the last meeting, we are preparing for a event for the public. It will be by invitation. It will be open to members of the community, neighbors, community leaders, including elected officials, media as well. That's the May 2nd, I believe. It's in the minutes. So development has been as a group, and we've brought in some guests for that, including some parent members who are involved in the community, advising on format and invitation lists. Two points of reminders. If you have not given me already, each of us as a board requirement is required to provide two names to invite to this event. So we are preparing the invitation to go out. So if you have not gotten that to me, please do so. And while we're speaking of board requirements, please remember, Sean just helpfully sends out the charts of all of our requirements. I know I have some to do, but among the things that I'll mention is that we are all required as board members to make a financial contribution to the school each fiscal year. Not all of us have done so, so please be sure to get that to Courtney.
Yeah, and Shonda's most recent list was not fully updated. I'll give some board members some leeway on that one.
Yeah.
Some people on it.
And there are things I have to send to Shonda that I have done that are not on there. But just if you have not done so, please remember it's not a nice thing to do. It's a requirement. So.
Plus, it really helps when we're asking for donations and foundation money. They want to know how many of our members contribute. And we'd like to say 100%.
Absolutely.
Whatever it is you can afford.
Jen, have we expanded our interest for this thing from beyond our neighbors to?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So that's if you look at the minutes, we've had between last month and this month, we've had three meetings of the development committee, but with a larger pool. Angela's been involved as a guest, but some other parents who are again involved in the community. We've gotten feedback on format, types of people to invite. So we want it to be open to our neighbors immediately, but again, it will include, among others, inviting elected officials, state and local, business leaders, a number of different constituencies, really to kind of, look, we believe this is a good news story in the city of Wilmington and people should know about it. And so we want to cast that net pretty far and wide. So again, please be sure, if you haven't done so, get your at least two invitations. Two names to me as we send out the invitations.
We want to show off.
Yes.
It's going to be a great. It's
it
going to be
is.
A
We're excited. Morning. Okay. Courtney, head of school, you got a calendar to share.
I do. So I have the calendar, the enrollment update, and then I have one other piece that has come up recently that I wanted to bring to the table as well. So I have the draft calendar. It has been run through parents and teachers and our calendar committee who worked on it last year has reviewed it as well. It is not much different than last year. I don't know that there's any changes from last year to this year that are anything substantial. There is a date wrong on it. So if you're looking in the first column on the right where it says 8, 8/28 first day for students. The second one should say 8/29 first day for the rest of the students. There's an error there that we'll fix. But other than that, there's really nothing that's remarkably different. The only, I think, thing that would be informative for you all to know is that instead of having 171 days, like we had this year, we went down to 170 days. That still allows us to have an extra 45 hours built into our school calendar, so we're required to have a certain amount of hours every year. It still allows us 45 extra hours by to meet the requirement, so we could technically still have about 6 snow days. The reason that we did that is that if we pushed it one more day, it went into another week, and bringing kids back on a Monday, you're not going to get enough bang for your buck from kids. It's not going to be a worthwhile day. It's not helpful for families to plan for. It just makes it a lot trickier. And so we felt like limiting that one at 170 is the one difference. But again, we are way meeting the number of hours that is required. And all of that's spelled out on the very last page. It talks about the instructional hours and when kids are here and all of that good stuff. So we are far above the amount of the requirement. So this is due to the state on April 1st. So I'm bringing it to the board to vote on tonight.
I have a question. Does the schedule coincide with a particular school district?
No. It does not.
No.
Okay.
It does not. It takes into some of the things that are traditional in Delaware schools, like when spring break are and some things like that. Then we do all federal holidays. We have a couple different holidays because we have 2 Montessori days that are built in. There's a Delaware Montessori Conference every year in October, and then there's a National Montessori Conference every year in March. So we build those into our schedule, and that's very different. Our conference schedule is pretty different because it happens twice a year mandated on a quarter, like on the quarter of the year. So anywhere that things are typical, we've looked at, do they make sense for us to have? If they do, we have. One of the questions that came up is around Jewish holidays. And so just so you guys know, the committee that worked on this, their standard for determining whether or not we observe religious holidays, because we had some questions around why we don't celebrate Jewish holidays when many of the surrounding districts do. And the committee that worked on it decided that they would do school-wide holidays for any holiday that impacted more than 5% of the population. So they wanted to create a line so that, if we're celebrating one religious holiday, then how do we say yes or no to the next? And so it could come down to being 1 student or 10 students. So we decided to make sure that it was a standard that impacted if it impacted 5% or more. They are considered excused days. And the way that our curriculum works, the kids are able to come in and pick up right where they left off. So they're not missing something. So they're not penalized in the terms of missing something in that regard. But we did seek feedback on that because we did have some questions about it, so we did meet with some of our families to see their concerns and their thoughts around that as well. And that's where we've landed on that.
And they were okay with it.
Great, thanks.
Any other discussion? May I have a motion to accept the 2017-2018 school calendar?
I move to.
Gina Castelli has made the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Andrea Angini has seconded the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion is passed.
So I'm sending around the enrollment update. One of the other things that Ron and I talked about doing tonight is giving you all an enrollment update on where we are for next year. So this has kind of the target numbers, where we are in terms of returning students and invitations and all that good stuff. So I'll give you a chance to digest.
I'm holding it, right?
And again, we don't know of anybody who's leaving at this time, just because it's not until the end of the year when they'll enroll somewhere else or move or officially do those things, and we can't unenroll a student until they enroll in their next school, which won't happen until the school year is over. So we do not anticipate a high number of those. But I'm sure there will be a few people who make different choices for different reasons. So that's not accounted for in here. So we still have, but they, what I wanted to show you is that there's still a waiting list at each level to be able to account for those pieces. Any questions on that piece?
Close. Close to what we
Yeah,
mean.
We're very close.
Yeah.
All right. So one other piece that came up is that I had to do a report out on a grant that we wrote a couple years ago. It was a one of our goals in the grant was to look at our kids that were new to Montessori over a 2-year period and determine how they were doing in terms of growth. So what I want to show you is kind of what we have around that piece. So the top graph shows our kids who 2 years ago were in second grade who are currently in fourth grade, right? So we had 2 years with them. We pulled out the amount of kids that came from a non-Montessori background. So this is all based on kids who were new to Montessori. And what you'll see in the top is that in 2014 of those second graders, there were 49 students who, there were 73% of those kids were on or above grade level. And if you follow those same 49 kids 2 years later, 86% of them were on or at grade level. So kids new to Montessori are staying at the pace of either 2 years of growth in 2 years or outdoing that. We've been able to bring up 13% more kids who are on grade level and reading in that cohort. And when you look at our third graders who are now fifth graders, we again looked at a cohort of 46 kids that were new to Montessori. 67% of those kids were at or above grade level. And 2 years later, 78% of those kids were at or above grade level. So you're seeing that we're taking kids and either keeping them on grade level and adding to the amount of kids that are at grade level. So some really strong numbers speaking to kids that had never been in Montessori backgrounds before who came in some middle grades. These grades are chosen is because that's when some of our formal assessments and readings start that we have consistent data on. We've changed some of the assessments we use at different grade levels, but this is one that we've used consistently for 2 years, so we have that data point.
Which assessment did you use?
This is from their Dibbles assessment.
Dibble.
So again, some really, I think, I wanted to bring it tonight because I feel like it's really clear information that what we're doing is working for kids.
And it's a good assessment.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is the same population of children.
Yes.
It doesn't account for new students coming in at the third
grade. It had to be, and it, that's why the numbers are what they are. It's whichever kids we had for 2 years. So we had to be able to track the same kids for 2 years. Yep.
Yeah. I just had a question out of curiosity. Did you also do the total population, even with kids that had Montessori background, to see, is the delta even larger for the, I would imagine?
Yeah, we have that. For this piece, I had to articulate it in this format.
Sure,
so
sure.
Off the top of my head, I don't remember the exact delta. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
I actually think this one was greater. Isn't that interesting?
Really?
Off the top of my head, that's what I think I remember, but I'd have to get a Liz Madden at the table to verify.
We know one thing. They did not go down.
Yeah.
But to your point, that's amazing. Gina, Dibbles is used across the board, too. It's not a Montessori test.
It's not a
mainstream test. So therefore,
research-based.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you brought that up as playing well.
Tell your teachers good work.
Yeah.
Tell your students, happy students that come here. This is wonderful news. Thank you, Courtney, for sharing that. Comments, questions, any more discussion? If not, we'll move on. Dwayne, you want to present two new members for our CVSC, right?
I do, thank you. So you should have received in your packet resumes for two individuals who were brought to the attention of the CBOC by our CBOC chair, Julia Farrell. They have attended at least one meeting per member or potential member. A gentleman by the name of Scott Bosley, who both are parents. Scott, son, has been with our school for the last 2 years since opening. And Mr. Tice joined our most recent meeting session from earlier this month. And he too has a child in their first year here in the school. Both have found out about the CBOC through the school's endeavors. Obviously, they're promoting what we do as the Citizen Budget Oversight Committee. I have expressed interest in joining. They were, as I mentioned, brought to the body by our chair, Jody O'Farrell, and then obviously presented to you all for consideration to join this. Yes. So I guess the proper approach in this instance would be to open up for any questions or concerns. I've met
if there's both. Discussion.
Yes, if there's any discussion.
Everyone read the.
Well, they both, I can tell you from me, they're both, they seem to be very solid gentlemen, sincerely interested in obviously the welfare of the school, otherwise they wouldn't join. I heard the initial call and answered the bell. And of course, as you can see from their resumes, very well credentialed.
I had the pleasure of talking with Mr. Tice. He had applied to be on our board a few years back. So, so we had the pleasure of an interview with Mr. Tice, and Mr. Bosley came to the wrong group. He thought he was going to learn how to talk to his kids about sexuality. Oh, and he said, "Is this the CBOC?" I said, "No." And his little face just lit right up. He smiled, and so very pleasant about it, and we laughed. So we really appreciate their interest. The resumes are great, I'm happy to have them, and if there's no further discussion, Dwayne, would you like to make a motion?
I mean, how many people do we have on the CBOC currently?
Currently, I can tell you off the record as well, but I think off the top of my head, I have to call, have a matrix for it, so forgive me.
Do you know Zeke?
I'm trying to think about it.
Yeah.
I guess my real question is, do we meet, I guess we need more?
Sure.
Well, yeah, if that's the question at hand, yes. I think
absolutely.
We have...
We have six. Seven.
It sounds like we make seven, I think. It's good to have some new blood, I think.
And their backgrounds are very good.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also, too, I think we've had, it's been pretty static over the last couple of years. So, mm-hmm. Of course, I think my particular point would be to bring in some new people as well, so fresh set of eyes.
I agree.
That's a pretty rigorous review,
it
right?
It is.
I mean, a lot of
everybody comes to every meeting. Generally, I mean.
Generally speaking, yes.
We're fun.
They are fun.
Well, we talked a lot on governance about how many is a good number, and I was just—that's why I was asking.
No, I don't think it would be overburdened if that's your concern. No, I would say that it would be good for discussion purposes, and then also. As particularly as we continue to grow and go and move into our new building, I think it's warranted.
And you said they're both parents, correct?
Correct.
Any other further discussion?
I'd just like to add that I met them both and enjoyed meeting them and think they can make a positive contribution.
Good. That's good feedback for us.
Because the parent piece has been a concern.
For the CBOC?
I don't think for the CBOC. Okay.
No, well, for the whole board in general, right? That we're trying to kind of reach past the parent pool and factor.
Is there there's a requirement on the CBOC that there be some?
Yeah. I think for the board itself, we'd like to keep it balanced somehow, but. Certainly for the CBOC, we need the talent of those who experienced in the finance world. And
but
so
it's a number, not a percentage requirement.
Right.
It's a number of, it's the other way around. It's like you have to have a parent, you have to have a, it's.
But it's not like you have to have 25%.
No, you have to have representation from those places. And we do, I mean, especially even with, I mean, Zeke
is not a parent.
Right, and so he fills that bucket. We have a parent,
so
we have a teacher on
that
board. We do.
Enough of those filled.
Diversity.
Dwayne, are there bylaws or processes that prevent you from adding another member next month? Or is there like an election period? Or?
No, there is an election period stated in the bylaws themselves, but it just requires that obviously they be brought to the board.
Sure.
Yeah. Just appointment.
Right. But my point is that if we want to address the non-parent piece, we could do so separately.
Plenty
not one.
Plenty
not
of
one.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I hear of a second?
I'll second.
Jed Donahue seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's passed. Tell them welcome aboard.
And thank you.
I think it's important to note, happy to see that, after a couple of 3 years now, third year, that, encouraged by the fact that folks are looking to reach out.
Right.
And I didn't mean to discourage.
No, not at all. It wasn't fair.
Okay, public comments. We don't have anything written, so we'll have to move on. May I have a motion for adjournment?
May I just make a reminder for requirements?
Sure.
March 30th, we do have the opportunity to do finance training from the privacy of our own homes. So if it's something you can fit into your schedule, make sure you RSVP, because we all have that many of us have that requirement we have to fulfill. So just to note that it's available to us.
And have we heard anything on due process?
I was just going to say that, Zeke. I haven't heard a thing. Okay. You, Courtney, I haven't heard anything about that. And I'm waiting for that one, too.
Thank you.
So, I've not heard, but there'll be a bunch of us needing that one. Okay. May I have a motion for adjournment?
Motion to adjourn.
Angela Angeny made the motion. May I have a second?
Second.
Dwayne Sims has second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passed. Thank you very much for your time. Great meeting. The next meeting, April 27th, 8:15 a.m.
7th in the morning.
Our governance committee liked to alternate.
Oh, that wasn't
We're done.